We'll continue our studies in Isaiah chapter 9, if you'd like to turn there. Has anyone ever asked you, what do you think you could go through what Job went through? Or do you think you could do what Abraham did? You know, I've thought about that question a few times because I've been asked that question several times. And every time I come right back to the same answer. If God wanted me to go through it, then he would give me the ability to do so. Otherwise, I cannot imagine myself going through that at all. What a wonderful God he is, that he takes people such as Job or Jacob. I mean, think about that for a moment. Jacob. Jacob was thrown in a pit and then sold to Ishmaelites. Could you imagine, how would you feel if your brothers and sisters did that to you? Man, that would be something terrible, wouldn't it? But God, in his infinite wisdom, allowed that to happen for the good of his people. What a wonderful God that would put all that together so that his children throughout the ages would see the glory of Jesus Christ in it. A short recap of our first two studies. We looked at this child that was promised, this Messiah, and how the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah was fulfilled. Not just the coming of this Messiah, the fulfillment of his life. What his life fulfilled, the saving of his people. What his purpose was. His purpose was to come to this earth, to become a man, to go to the cross and pay for the sins of all those that the Father had given him. Secondly, we looked at the Prince of Peace. Not the peace of this world, because there's turmoil all around us. Not just around us, but there's turmoil inside of us. There's turmoil with those that we live with. Even our own family. Our own sin inside of us can be turmoil. But yet we have peace. We have the Prince of Peace who represents us, who represented us when he went to the cross, and represents us today sitting on his throne in heaven. And he makes peace between us and God the Father. Those of us who have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we have peace with the all-holy God because of what his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did. So we saw him as the promise of the Prince of Peace. Well, this morning I want to look at him as the promise of his name shall be called Wonderful. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We've been looking at these promises of God that he has made to his people, and today I would like to take a special notice of these, as with all of his promises, for they have all been made to a particular people. God did not speak to the whole world in the Old Testament, nor does he speak to the whole world today. It's no different. His word is right here. Many, many people read this very Bible that you and I read. Some have changed it a little bit to fit the way they want to, but most don't even understand what they're reading out of it. I know I never did, and I grew up all around this Bible when I was a kid. It wasn't until I was 40 years old before the Lord woke me up and put eyes in my head that could read the truth, ears in my head that could hear the truth, a heart that would believe the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a remnant, a small portion, a chosen people that God has spoken to and will speak to. God the Father gave his Son a people, and as our brother Mike brought out in his message last Sunday, he, Christ, shall lose none. All that the Father giveth him shall come to him. That's the promise from God. The word shall means exactly that. They shall come. For they who were not looking, they who were not willing, will be made willing in the day of his power. The scriptures below the title of our opening hymn is from 1 Corinthians 12:3, where it says, "No man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Only God's people are given the gift of faith, the gift to believe His word and all that is in it. We call Him Lord because He has revealed Himself as Lord through His word. We can all look back on a time when our walk before God and see the darkness that we walked in and the darkness that we love so much. Now we walk in the light of Jesus Christ the Lord, not because of anything that we have done, but because of Him. Because He, through His Spirit, has revealed to us the truth of His Word. In Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath He quickened," or made alive, as it says, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." This is why we call Him wonderful. We were dead. There was nothing in us. The Lord Jesus Christ took me out of that darkness. What a wonderful God to even think anything of me at all. For I am not worthy of anything that He would do. None deserve what He has done, and none can earn His grace. In Ephesians 2:8, so it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest of any man should boast." Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. In Psalms 40, verse 5, you don't need to turn there, I'll read it for you. It says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." That is actually a reference to Job that we just read, 42, verse 3. Or how about in Psalms 107:31, where it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men." Or Psalms 111:4, it says, "He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." We sing a new song, a song with praises of His mercy, don't we? "Oh, how the Lord has mercy on me. And yeah, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet I have no wants. I fear no evil. For the Lord has shown me a pasture of green grass in shade." We don't have the turmoil that we used to have in the world because we see that this world is not our home. Christ in heaven is our home. We're just on our way to it. We sing a new song with praises of His grace, for He did not leave us to ourselves. He who is sovereign ruler over all things, He who works all things out for the good of them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We call Him wonderful because He did not leave us to our misery and our lost state. Oh, how often I stop to consider He who had no sin. He who is so perfect, so holy, so righteous in all of His ways was made to be sin for me. Not only did He lower Himself from the glory that was His for my sake and yours, He died. God died. He experienced death for us. God the Father turned His back upon His Son. Have you ever had that happen to you? I have. I'm just going to leave it at that. He, our Lord Jesus, took shame and guilt upon Himself that we, that all of His children might be made righteous in Him. Can you see why his name shall be called Wonderful? Can you look into your life and understand why you call him Wonderful? Turn to chapter 8 of John, if you would. When I think about the reasons why I can call him Wonderful, I understand as I go through the book of his word, the book of truth, and I see where I could be today. You see, not all can see his wonderful works. You may also recall in our brother Mike's message, all but the 12 disciples last week, all but the 12 disciples walked with Christ no more. They turned. They couldn't see the wonderful works of God. All 12 disciples of which Christ had chosen, yet one of them was a devil. Here in John chapter 8, we see our Lord Jesus speaking to religious men. Men who thought they were saved because of what they did. Men who thought they were above everything else because of how they acted. Russ and I were talking this morning with our brother Mike out in the hallway here. We can't even trust ourselves. There's only one thing you can trust in, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one works that you can trust in, and that is God himself. Because the day that you stop and look at yourself and say, "Woo, I know I'm saved because of what I'm doing," you are wrong. I know I'm saved because of what he did. If he didn't do enough, then I'm not saved at all. But he did it all. He is our all in all. Our Lord Jesus is speaking to religious men. Men who thought more of themselves than they should have. Chapter 8, verse 36, if you would please. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." This word, folks, this is all about the wonderful thing of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is all about what God has done, supplying us a substitute for our sins. This is all about glorifying his Son. The wonderful works, the very works that I read about in Psalms there. There's so many, how can I utter them all? Job said the same thing. Your wonderful works are so much, how can we utter them all? There are not enough books in the world to contain all the wonderful works our Lord Jesus did on this earth the very days that he walked this earth, let alone all the time, all throughout time for all of his people. The word of God had no place in their hearts. They loved the darkness and hated the light because the light exposed their lies and their deceit, their pride. There was no place for the truth in their stony hearts. Verse 38. "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." Remember, he's talking to those who have no place for God's word in their heart. He's talking to a group of people who don't see the wonderful works of Christ. "And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, and this did not Abraham." You're not Abraham's seed. You're not Abraham's children. You're not Abraham's children of promise. That's what it's all about. The promise of the child, or the promise to Abraham, his I'm messing that up, aren't I? You understand? Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and an abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. They cannot see. So that takes what we do see, and it just magnifies it beyond anything that we can comprehend. Why is he so wonderful? Because he didn't leave me in that position. He didn't leave me to myself. He didn't leave you to yourselves. He came to you and called you out of darkness. Gave life, quickeneth you. He shall be called wonderful because he did not leave us in to this same fate that we read about here. Notice this last verse, verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's word. You see, some are of God. That's what we opened this message with this morning, isn't it? God speaks to some and not to others. He speaks to those who are of God, those whose names were written in the book of life before the foundation of the world, before anything was ever created. Our names were scribed in the palms of the Lord Jesus Christ. My sheep, hear my voice. Oh, how wonderful to hear God's word. And Lord, help us to always remember, it is God who makes us to differ. Allow me to read for you one more time, Psalms 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Why do we call Jesus Christ wonderful? Because he is. Just as simple as that. At least in my heart, he is. Amen. Stand with me if you would.